listening to The Union Edge, Lakers Talk Radio. For more information about the show, go to theunionedge.com.
This is Solidarity News on Radio Labor.
This is a Radio Labor news update recorded on Tuesday, March 24th, 2015. I'm Mark Boulanger. Victims of the Rana Plaza disaster in Bangladesh are still waiting for their compensation plan to be completed. Radio Labor's senior correspondent C. Marie Ainsborough has a report on a campaign just started by labor organizations.
Three international organizations have started a global campaign to shame clothing companies and governments into paying fair compensation to the victims of the Rana Plaza disaster in Bangladesh. The two-year anniversary of the building collapse is less than a month away. 1,200 garment workers were killed in the accident and 2,400 were injured. Most were young women. A fund set up to compensate the injured and the victims' families is still almost $9 million short. The total needed for the compensation plan is $30 million. A number of clothing brands are refusing to pay their fair share. The worst offender is Benetton, which has not paid 1 cent yet. Others, such as Walmart and the Children's Place, have made payments that are far short of what they owe. Two global union federations are leading the campaign to get more money for the victims. Industrial represents the garment worker unions in Bangladesh. Uni represents workers in stores which sell the clothes. They are working closely with an NGO called the Clean Clothes Campaign. The date to pay up, set by labor organizations, is April 24th, the anniversary of the disaster. This is C. Marie Ainsborough reporting for Radio Labor.
The government of the UK says the budget it is introducing this week will continue its promotion of economic growth, more jobs, and higher living standards. However, the British Trades Union Congress, the TUC, says that none of this has been happening. It wants alternate policies put in place. Frances O'Grady is the General Secretary of the TUC.
At the TUC, we're arguing for a jobs guarantee, especially for young people, a decent pay job to sustain them in work. We're arguing for fair pay because we know that the Exchequer has got a big black hole that's there because people aren't being paid enough to pay taxes to fund our public services, and everybody deserves a decent standard of living. And we're arguing for a strategy for investment and sustainable growth. That means a British investment bank, it means an industrial policy, it means creating an economy that works for working people and not just those at the top.
The International Transport Workers Federation, the ITF, has won its fight against an alliance between the United Nations and the private driving company Uber. The entity known as UN Women had made a deal with Uber, with the company promising 1 million jobs for women drivers. The ITF said that was clearly a false promise. But more importantly, it said, any jobs created by Uber would be low-paying and insecure. Brigitte Paez is an ITF vice president.
Uber's employment, the arrangements they make with their so-called employees, denies workers the basic protections. They are not an employee from Uber, they are self-employed. And that means that they don't even get paid minimum wages. And even if they got paid minimum wages, they have to pay out of that healthcare, pension schemes, childcare, and you can imagine what kind of costs a family has when both the parents are working. So this means that Uber is an app who is providing a facility, which means that their workers are self-employed people with absolute no benefits at all, and often even paid under the minimum wages.
The executive director of UN Women, Pumzile Malambo-Nuka, addressed a gathering of women activists and talked about the deal with Uber.
Not only are we listening, we are aligned. And I also want to assure you that UN Women will not accept an offer to collaborate on job creation with Uber. So you can rest assured about that.
And that's it. International labor news you can use. Thank you for listening. And remember, It's all about global solidarity.
If you work for a living, listen to The Union Edge. We talk about your issues and find solutions to your problems.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor Stock Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon. In studio today, Rosemary Trump, former International Vice President for SEIU. Rosemary, welcome back.
I'm happy to be here, Charles. Thank you.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. I get to get it because between you and Charlie, there's like 14 different newspapers, and it's kind of. And also with us today, Charlie McCollister, former professor at Indiana University, Pennsylvania, and former machinist.
Yeah, great to be here. It's always good to be here with Rosemary because she's got about 25 newspaper articles, enough for at least 3 or 4 days.
You know, I'm starting to think Rosemary's got stock in one of the paper companies. I'm not sure. Just say, you know.
Well, she's a researcher. Yeah, you got to watch out.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, guys, you know, it's always wonderful to have you here. We appreciate what you guys are doing. My goodness, just a quick shout out for our friends with the National Association of Letter Carriers, Branch 84. Don't forget, folks, May 9th is a national food drive. So you're going to hear us talking about that, and we're going to continue to push that. You know, my goodness, letter carriers in this country, the union, has collected over 1 billion pounds of food over the last 20 years. It's a wonderful thing, watching a letter carrier carry 5-pound cans of beans back to the local food bank, but it's a wonderful thing indeed. So, with that said, guys, keep up the great work. Rosemary, Charlie, what's going on?
Well, the reason I carry all these newspapers is that you try to connect the dots between all the major news items. And, you know, yesterday and today, you know, the headline reads, Ted Cruz seeks to enlist evangelical Christians for 16 bid is one headline. And then, unfortunately, another headline is that Afghans lynched woman who didn't burn the Quran. And then the next one is Starbucks stops the Race Together Cup campaign. Now, what do these headlines have to do together is, in my view, is that we've got the first presidential candidate coming out of the box running, targeting his message to a particular sector of our society, namely the evangelical Christians. He made his announcement at the Liberty University, a Christian school founded by the televangelist Jerry Falwell. And, you know, he's basically says, you know, for me to win, you the Baptist, you the evangelical Christians have got to go out and vote en masse. Well, it's good to have a base, but when you start out and you basically say, I'm the one that only cares about your particular issues, immediately it shuts out, you know, the non-Christians.
Right.
In this country, we have a lot of Jewish and we have a lot of Hindu, Muslim, Buddhist.
Other denominations of Christians?
Yes, exactly. Catholics. And non-evangelical Christians. And we have, you know, we have, frankly, agnostics and non-believers. So. Mm-hmm. We were deliberately set up to be a country to be pluralistic, to accept all those who came to our shores to practice their religion and to be able to articulate their belief in their own way, and that we should be respectful of one another. And I would want to point out that Pennsylvania, the state that I was born in and live in currently, was founded by William Penn, who was one of the persecuted religious Quakers in England at the time of his adulthood. And, you know, he was lucky enough to have, he was on his way to the gallows when, you know, he was lucky enough to have a very wealthy father who appealed to the king and said, how about if I buy a tract of land over there in the New World and have them call it Penn's Woods? So he came to this New World, and the first edict or legislation that he put forward was freedom of religion.
Again, that's an important thing when we talk about this country. Why some people believe that they can say, oh, well, this country was formed on Judeo-Christian. Okay, let's talk about that. Let's talk Judeo-Christian beliefs. It may have been founded on those, but when you start talking about Judeo, you're talking about Semitics, Jews, and Muslims. Oops. How'd that creep in there? And, you know, we're talking about religious freedom or the freedom of religion. So I don't have to, I'm not forced to practice your religion, Ted Cruz. And why somebody would start to, it's backwards. And I don't, you know, I'll be honest with you. I don't think Ted Cruz is really running. I think Ted Cruz is running to fill his pack so he has more influence with other politicians. But I think he's going about this the wrong way. I mean, he's already starting with divide and conquer.
That's right. Well, and you know, in the founding fathers thing, I mean, they were extremely worried and concerned about the religious persecution and fanaticism and sectarianism. I mean, Europe was being torn apart by those issues. England had been torn apart by the various Protestants versus Catholics, but then all the splits among the Protestant sects in England. And the founding fathers, there was one of the things that really united them completely was a desire not to have religious colonies and to open up citizenship on a non-religious basis and protect religion by separating it from the body politic. So you don't have some president who comes along and then imposes his vision of religion on the country. That's exactly, so you can't appeal to the founding fathers. I mean, this whole idea that we're a Christian nation really came, as we were talking last week, very good article in the New York Times about where did this Christian nation came, really from the 1950s. It was the part of the anti-communist, anti-Soviet fear that we had to somehow assert our nature as a Christian nation, and God we trust, and under God, and these sort of things became part and parcel. But it was Eisenhower who supported this drive, who also said, you can't link this to an attack on Social Security, unemployment compensation, and labor laws, which is what some of the people even then wanted to link Christian with anti-union, with things against the poor like Rosemary. How the heck can you justify taking health care away from the poor as a Christian value? I mean, and this is, people have got to fight back. People who are Christian, Catholic, Jewish, Muslim, whatever, or non-religious, have to really recall people to what our real traditions are.
Well, and we can see what happens. You know, we don't have to look back to the burning of the witches in Salem, Massachusetts, or the Crusades to see what happens when a particular sect gets overzealous in their willingness to persecute others who do not believe as they do. When we examine that, you know, the tragedy that happened this last week with that poor woman in Afghanistan and Kabul, Farkunda, 28 years old, who is alleged to have burned the Quran, and it turns out that, you know, they've examined the evidence and that there was not one shred of evidence that that's what occurred, you know, because, and, you know, there's information getting out there one way and another, but it seems that she was speaking her mind, and for that is what really aggravated this mob that was around her, and someone shouted, well, she burned a Quran, and immediately people started to beat her to death, and fortunately, there are women in that society that has taken her on as a symbol of all of their needs for their own expression, and are attempting to not let her life have been in vain, but to shed a light on this fanaticism. And so be careful for what you wish for, right.
We don't need an American Taliban.
You know? No, religious zealots, no matter what the religion, are still zealots.
Exactly. And again, as Charlie said, I mean, what part of abolishing the Affordable Care Act that would impact immediately anywhere from 11 to 16 million lives in America, that would have basically stripped them from their opportunity for the first time in many people's lives to have had insurance? How does that help America go forward? How is that healing? How is that good for the nation? And this promise to send security guards to every segment of the border between our country and Mexico. How is that constructive? I mean, how is that? You know, here he is. Ted Cruz is the son of an immigrant to this nation, and somehow
that's a different thing. He's a Cuban immigrant, or his father was a Cuban immigrant who tends to vote Republican. They're okay. Those other people coming from Mexico, they tend to vote Democratic. They're not okay. Listen, we need to take a short break, but I got to tell you before we go, that stuff about an unsecure southern border, obviously Ted Cruz doesn't know what the heck he's talking about. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.
All right, boys and girls, gather around me and I'll tell you the story of the Investor-State Dispute Resolution Clause. Wait, children, where are you going? Don't run away. Don't cry. Okay, the wonkish gibberish used by the powers that be to write those corporate boondoggles they call the trade deals is toothachingly boring and incomprehensible. Could that be on purpose? Of course! If they wrote these wage-destroying, environment-killing, sovereignty-sucking scams in plain English so we commoners could understand what they're doing to us, they couldn't get away with it. So here comes the Trans-Pacific Partnership, by far the largest trade flim-flam in history. Written in gobbledygook, it was negotiated in secret by corporate lobbyists and government lawyers. Even Congress doesn't know what's in it, but TPP is to be hustled into law through a super-rush rubber stamp process called Fast Track. No need to be suspicious, though, for an upstanding new group called Progressive Coalition for American Jobs now assures us that this global trade deal will support hundreds of thousands of new jobs in the United States. Hello, do we have sucker wrappers around our heads? That's the exact same claim that Bill Clinton made for NAFTA, which siphoned hundreds of thousands of jobs and entire industries out of the U.S. By the way, who are the members of this coalition? Every progressive group I know of is adamantly against the TPP, and no progressive has stepped forward to claim ownership of this PR push for corporatizing the people's democratic rights. Is there a coalition? Who's in it? Who funds it? This is Jim Hightower saying, nobody's answering because nobody's there. The coalition is a fraud, just like TPP. For a real coalition of progressives who are standing tall against the whole fraud, go to stopfasttrack.com.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like fish sticks. Filets, I get, but sticks? Maybe we can just compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with Brie?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Members of the American Postal Workers Union handle more than 165 billion letters and packages a year. That's about 34 million pounds of mail every day. Ever wonder what this costs you as a taxpayer? Millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions? Not a single cent. The United States Postal Service doesn't run on your tax dollars. It's funded solely by stamps and postage. Brought to you by the men and women of the American Postal Workers Union.
Join us April 13th in Washington, D.C. at the conference where jobs and the environment meet. The Good Jobs, Green Jobs Conference features dynamic speakers, informative workshops, and a chance to engage with other labor, environmental, business, and civic leaders. Energize America. Repair and update our energy systems. Reduce pollution and create quality jobs. April 13th in Washington, D.C. Register today at www.greenjobsconference.org. That's www.greenjobsconference.org.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate that very much. In studio today, we've got Rosemary Trump, former International Vice President for SEIU.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Always a pleasure, Rosemary. And Charlie McAllister, former professor at Indiana University of Pennsylvania and machinist.
Great to be here.
Always a pleasure, guys. We appreciate it. Rosemary, TPP, what do you, toilet paper project, toilet paper projection?
Well, again, this is a trade issue that, you know, that does seem to have steam in Washington, D.C., much to our dismay. And I think a couple of things is that because it is being negotiated behind closed doors, and there's only information about it through WikiLeaks and other sources. The big problem is that, you know, here we are. We've been preaching, you know, buy American, buy Union American. And essentially, my understanding is that the TPP, the Transatlantic Pacific Partnership, would basically eliminate all of those laws that they would be illegal under that system, that you couldn't urge people, that we as unionists could not, you know, be out there particularly saying to our membership,
buy American,
you know, buy a union made American car so that we can continue to grow our economy. And I think that's a very dangerous activity. And plus the fact that we're such a, we're concentrated in manufacturing. We want to build that back up. How will we build that back up when we have the employers in their association going out complaining, oh, we have all these burdens that go along with manufacturing in this country. Why, do you know, on a per employee basis, it costs us anywhere from $20,000 to $35,000 a year per employee to comply with all these laws. Well, what are they complying with? They're complying with the environmental laws. They're complying with the OSHA laws. They're complying with the wage conditions, namely that they can't work employees over 40 hours a week without paying them overtime. They're complying, you know, with air standards. And what they're saying is, hey, you know, America only has 5% of the population. 95% of the world is out there we want to sell to. But how are we going to be able to sell to them unless we lower these costs? Well, if they lower their costs, they're going to make us a cesspool is what they're going to do.
And what they want is Americans to work at third world wages,
right,
so these companies can export their products to other places and make first world profits. Okay, they want to profit for themselves. Everybody else be damned.
Exactly, including our society be damned. I mean, at the same time, you know, we're worried about the oceans melting, you know, all the glaciers melting. They want to, you know, make America into a similar country where there's no regulation on the amount of carbon that could go up in the air. And what are we leaving to our children and grandchildren is my question. Is what kind of a world are we creating for them?
Right, and it's a terrible way to whipsaw nations against nations, workers against workers in different areas, and claiming that any of these standards or any of these regulations are unfair trade barriers and costing somebody in some other country money. Therefore, they can step in. Secret tribunals can overrule municipal, state legislation, or national legislation if it's deemed to be denying a profit that somebody out there believes they have the right to have. And so this is a way of global capitalism, global moneyed power, of establishing a financial dictatorship over the entire world. I mean, that's the logic behind it, is that democratic institutions, things that you vote for, are secondary to secret tribunals behind closed doors that can step in and undo what the popular, what our so-called representatives, unfortunately, who are often corrupted by the same money that is trying to get these unfettered situation going for them. But we have to defend our rights as citizens and as human beings in this world order, and the Trans-Pacific Partnership is a very scary event.
And ultimately, the issue is, how does that fit in with the ideal of a democratic society? I mean, again, if our nation was built on the premise that people have a right to have input into the way their economy is structured and their government, who promotes an economy, is structured and has an opportunity to have a voice and to be able to vote on representatives who articulate their position on this. If all of this is regulated worldwide, internationally, how do we ever have a voice in the future on any of these issues?
We don't. We simply don't. And the unfortunate thing about this is this could have been solved at the head when they started talking about the TPP. They could have included labor in this. Not as a backbencher.
Right.
Not as somebody who's just sitting in the back waiting for somebody to say, and what do you think about this? Labor here in the United States and labor in other parts of the world should have had full, right, unfettered,
a place at
unrestricted
the table.
Access yes. yeah. at the table, just like the big businesses do.
And there should be a structural voice for the environmentalists, too, because we really have to look at what are the impacts of all these changes on our world. So labor and the environment is what always gets lost in these trade deals.
And, you know, Ross Perot was right when he talked about NAFTA and the giant sucking sound.
Right.
This is 10 times bigger.
Yep.
Well, if we don't like the typhoons and we don't like the kinds of winter we enjoyed this last year, just talk to anybody in Boston or Pittsburgh. Or
see, obviously, there's no climate change because they had snow in Boston. You know, and the sad thing is they've tried it with smoking. They've tried it with drinking and driving. They've tried it with other things. They're trying it now with this. And they're not going to make it. But the problem is a lot of people are going to get killed in the process. Listen, guys, we're coming towards the end of this segment. And I just want to say, remind everybody that the food drive for the United States Postal Service unions is coming up May 9th. It's the second May of every year. Put some food out. Your mail carrier will pick it up and get it taken to your local food bank. And it's a wonderful thing. The letter carriers and the other unions have collected over 1 billion pounds of food in the last 20 years. Think about that. 1 billion pounds of food in 20 years. It's the largest food drive in America. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborist Talk Radio.
You're You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. As 1,500 United Auto Worker delegates from around the nation gather in Detroit for the UAW's bargaining convention, rank-and-file auto workers are ready to share in the profits that they helped create through earlier sacrifices at the Detroit 3 automakers. UAW President Dennis Williams won't divulge details of the UAW's bargaining table positions, but it's widely known that workers don't like the two-tier wage system and are looking for their first real wage raises in many years.
In 2008, 2009, we had a disaster. Everybody made sacrifices. Our members made huge sacrifices. There comes a time that both the company needs to realize that there's reward, and I think it's time for our membership to have a reward.
Williams says his members aren't the only ones that made economic sacrifices in the Great Recession. The middle class took a serious hit as well. He says if American workers and the middle class are to ever regain the share of economic productivity they once held, they're going to need to once again embrace the labor movement on a mass scale.
It was the labor movement that helped bring along the middle class. And if we are really going to have a strong society in the United States with a good standard of living, then we have to have that voice. And that voice is organized labor.
Mark Twain famously wrote that there are three kinds of lies: lies, damned lies, and statistics. That explains the big lie from the U.S. Trade Representative that, surprise, surprise, the U.S. actually enjoys a trade surplus with free trade partners, not the horrendous job-killing deficits that have been reported for decades. Public Citizens Global Trade Watch unmasks that big lie. The surplus is calculated by It turns out the surplus is calculated by counting foreign-made goods that are shipped to the U.S. before they're shipped out as exports, quote-unquote. The goods are made in foreign countries and nothing is done to alter them before they're exported back out to other nations. Voila! The U.S. suddenly has a bogus trade surplus. Damned statistics. So when you hear news outlets that rhyme with pox tell you free trade agreements have resulted in a trade surplus for the U.S., try not to laugh too hard in the face of that big lie. At least you will know how the lie is being concocted.
Workers Independent News is brought to you by the American Federation of Teachers and its 1.6 million members working to reclaim the promise of public education, health care, and public services for our students, their families, and our communities. More information online at aft.org.
This newscast made possible in part through underwriting support from the National Association of Letter Carriers. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through.
Do your part by going to boostup.org and giving a student the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
What? Why? Just wait for the inheritance. We've definitely got a rich uncle somewhere. We're one call away from the winner's circle at the Derby, dinners with multiple forks, a vacation home in the country, using summer as a verb.
You don't actually think that, do you?
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon? Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon, that is for sure. In studio today with me, Rosemary Trump, Charlie McAllister. Guys, welcome back.
Wonderful to be here.
Great.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. So what do we got next?
Well, you know, we have these runaway legislatures and or governors in terms of their myopia or complete understanding of what a labor union is and how it functions. Now we have a bill being introduced by the Senate President of Pennsylvania, Joe Scarnati, who's a Republican from Jefferson County in our state, and his Majority Leader Jake Corman, who's a Republican from Centre County, along with Senator Ryan Aumont from Lancaster, who's also a Republican, saying that what this, you know, what a, you know, the bill that needs to be passed today or tomorrow is a bill that will create fishbowl bargaining between state workers and school workers and the taxpayers, that we don't want any backroom deals taking place. That, you know, if there's any collective bargaining going on, then there should be a television there where all the taxpayers have access to watching how the state elected officials will bargain away their money.
Can we do that with the state legislature?
that would be appropriate.
Let me ask you this.
Or how about the contracts with all of their friends who come to them for, you know, highway, bridge, healthcare, nursing home expenditures.
Let me ask you this. You know, can we get drug testing on all of our state legislature people in the House and the Senate? I mean, really? You want to come in and watch the sausage being made at a teacher's negotiation? What do you think they're doing? Do you think they're hanging out at a casino drinking beers?
Precisely. I mean, you know, I was in the active participation of bargaining for 35 years in the public sector, and never did I have a public official either approach me publicly or privately saying, I'm here to give you the store away to, you know, your union and my employees because I think they're severely overpaid and over-benefited.
Right.
Because they are not.
You know what this reminds me of? Is they are scared to death that one of the school districts is going to negotiate with their teachers and say, you know, you guys are doing an awesome job. My God, the test scores are through the roof. The kids are having a great time. You know, we got a 98% graduation rate. All of our kids are going to the community college, if not going to a four-year degree program. You guys are awesome. We're giving you another $15,000 a year. Where do those tax dollars come from? They come from the local community, don't they? Some of them come from the state, but they come from the local community. It's called schools tax, isn't it? I don't know. Am I wrong?
Well, the other thing is that they forget is every one of those public sector workers are a taxpayers themselves.
Right.
I mean, they all pay state and federal taxes. And guess what, folks? The reason they pay state and federal taxes is because the unions have been able to negotiate above a poverty level income, so they have the privilege of paying taxes to run our society.
Right. So they don't have to go to the county for health care, for housing, and for food, like all too many people in the private sector do.
And also, you know, in addition to not having to do that, they have the opportunity to live their lives in dignity, paying their own way, as well as contributing to those who are less fortunate. But, you know, they forget to understand that the reason we have a middle class and a great society in this country is that the labor movement provided that opportunity, took us from poverty wages for public sector workers, where it used to be that the only school teachers were, you know, the
single moms, single women who lived in the school building.
Yeah. Or in the building, right. Either lived in the building or lived at home with their parents because they could not afford to support themselves. And so, you know, rather than celebrate this and understand this and worry about, you know, whether or not there's an equal distribution, a fair distribution of our economy, from the billionaires, you know, to giving back to society in order to keep this wonderful civilization and common good government that we have.
You know what? Here's what I'm thinking. We need to get a copy of the benefits package that the members of the House and the Senate in the state of Pennsylvania enjoy. We need to get a copy of that, you know, and a listing of all the things that are on there.
Absolutely.
And then we need to compare it to what the teachers have. I bet I know who'd win. I bet I know who would have the better benefits package. I bet I know who would have the better job for life, seniority, can't be fired.
Well, you know, I don't see them offering to get a 401k, replace their defined benefit package. I mean,
it's real big of them to say, yeah. Oh, I'm not going to take a government car, but I'm going to deduct my mileage.
Right. Which is more expensive than using the government car for the taxpayer.
Just ask that Illinois representative about the...
Well, yeah,
they need to worry about finding those SCAF laws rather than, where, you know, collective bargaining works.
It does.
You know, first of all, show me a state worker that is overpaid or over benefited in this state. They are receiving median wages with median benefits, and they want to take this away. Meantime, you know, you have CEO pay. Where, you know, they're saying, well, you know, the rates of pay are going up so slowly. I deserve a better buyout when I retire. So we need to figure out how to put more money into my pension schedule. So, you know, where is the regulation of that process?
Well, and you know, one of the reasons we had Social Security and defined benefit pensions was so that we could counteract the cyclical issues of capitalism, so that there would be a base of people who would have income and pay into the system and keep things afloat.
And keep paying taxes.
Yeah, so you don't have these total collapses.
Right.
And that's what when they tie everything to the stock market, we're going to see economic financial crises that are going
to
make the last one look like a picnic.
And why do I have to give up 5 to 10% of my retirement right off the bat to this private sector weenie who doesn't care whether or not I make any money because he's already got his. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborist Talk Radio.
You don't usually get a stock tip from a 16-year-old, but I'm here to tell you about a different kind of stock. It's called Better Futures, a stock for social change that's not about making money. Instead, you invest to help students like me go to college, which ends up making the future better for all of us. My name is Alicia, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
At risk of losing your home in a foreclosure? We can help. We'll deal with your bank, lower your principal. We'll buy you a pony, give you the ability to fly. We'll let you ride a unicorn. We'll give you a...
If you're facing foreclosure, who should you trust? The HOPE Hotline is a free resource connecting you with HUD-approved housing counseling agencies available 24 hours a day who can give you the information and clarity you need. Call the HOPE Hotline at 888-995-HOPE. That's 888-995-4673. Brought to you by NeighborWorks America and the Ad Council.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace. Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Feeling numb, praying like a fool. This is Ryan Tedder from One Republic. The beat of our new song, Feel Again, was created with heartbeats of children in need. Find out how it can help frontline health workers save millions of children at everybeatmatters.org.
Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
It's about the work. Work we're proud of. Work that provides the energy that powers America. Work that means our communities are stronger, better, for our families, our neighbors, for everyone. Just like you, members of the United Mine Workers of America are on the job, every day, working hard. It's what we do, and it makes America a better place. The United Mine Workers of America, working families just like yours.
Sisters and brothers, are you buried in paperwork? UnionTrack is a software platform that streamlines your administrative work so you can spend less time chasing databases and more time taking care of your members. UnionTrack was created to streamline your day-to-day operations, allowing you to focus on organizing, training, and advocating for working families. More information is available at UnionTrack.com and on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out in the afternoon with us. That is for sure. In studio today, Rosemary Trump, Charlie McAllister. Guys, welcome back.
Thank you, Charles.
Always a pleasure. Rosemary, you know, we have talked about unions setting up hiring halls for different new industries, kind of like what the building trades do.
Right.
The building trades, when you work for the building trades, you're actually working for the union.
Right.
And then the signatory contractors say, hey, I need this person or that person and another person, and the union sends them out. And it's a wonderful thing, and there's lots of great training that goes on with that, and there's lots of experience. The senior, you know, even after retirement, many of the senior building tradespeople stay on to work in the academy, so to speak, or the school, teaching the next generation on how to do things. And, you know, my goodness, they're going into the school for a couple of days a week, and then they're going fishing for the other couple of days a week. You know, they're kind of hard to find in the summertime. But, you know, it's a wonderful thing.
Yes. Well, and the fact that we now have freelancers being able to access health care through, the Affordable Care Act, and they're always looking for a way in which to have a good plan at a reasonable cost, and the Obamacare plan provides competition among providers, and it just seems like if our health and welfare funds are able to provide health care through under that program and through that program, the question is how can they be expanded to include those who might sign up through Obamacare and be out there bidding for the freelance work, and especially with it growing. I mean, the days of going to work at a factory and working 30 years and being able to have the health care provided through a single employer, and then even after retirement, that isn't where we're headed any longer. And the question is how can labor adapt? And, between capturing independence or looking for a way that they don't get cheated when they invest money into a pension system, and if they don't get cheated by investing in a healthcare system that isn't, wildly motivated by profit, that if we could figure out a way to capture those individuals, that would be one way to bring them into the fold, so that we'd have an opportunity to communicate with them and about other issues, including, higher pay and better working conditions and so forth and so on. And again, the apprenticeship program, locally, there was just a big career fair, Hire Pittsburgh, where, lots of companies went out there looking for workers, from nursing homes and hospital to universities to insurance companies and schools. It just seems that there are opportunities for us to look at new models that can really deal with the next up generation. And we just had two wonderful representatives of the Union Edge, both Angela and Brittany, who came back all excited and thrilled about their experience. I'm guessing that most of those who were there came through the traditional collective bargaining, where they're hired by, you know, their employer and have all their benefits through their employer that are negotiated by the union. But, there's so many young people out there trying to find one of those disappearing jobs, mm-hmm. that there needs to be a way in which we, the labor movement, can fill the void and fill the gap and experiment. And now that, you know, money is coming out by the government for training purposes and for manufacturing training purposes, how can we work with the federal government and the private sector to create a model that where everyone wins? The private sector gets highly trained workers. They're not competing on wages for their business, that they're just competing on the fine work that they do and their talents. And workers benefit, everybody benefits. They're taxed, they pay into the system so that there is money to fund our necessary needs that we have for education and healthcare and security in our retirement years. I think there's a way to do this. If we can keep an open mind, we can win on this.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's a lot of good ways that we can do this. You know, we've got the Job Corps model where labor is providing the training, the private sector is providing the management, the federal government's providing the funding for the Job Corps programs, and it works well. The Mondragon business model, that's one thing. The building trades business model, it's adaptable. I mean, if a hospital system decides that they want to have med techs trained or nurses, CNAs, physician's assistants, doctors, that can be done, you know. And so there's a lot of good things that we can do. A little bit of a paradigm shift for everybody involved, but it's possible and it's workable, and it's a neat thing. Listen, we're going to take a short break. You guys stick around. We got a short rant, and then we'll talk some more. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
While college and university tuitions go up and up, higher education administrators have been spending less on students' education. Today, only a quarter of higher ed faculty has secure full-time jobs. The rest are so-called adjunct faculty, hired on a per-course temporary basis, often with no benefits, and are paid just $2,700 on average per course. Dedicated adjunct faculty across the country are joining together and fighting back in defense of their students' future. In Pittsburgh, they have formed the Adjunct Faculty Association, affiliated with United Steelworkers Union. Adjuncts and students all over the city are joining the AFA to achieve the goal of providing high-quality, affordable higher education. To know more or to support Pittsburgh's adjunct faculty, give us a call at 412-562-6967 or find us on the web at usw.org. Again, that's 412-562-6967 or usw.org. Together, we can take higher education back.
Hi, I'm Al Roker. Let me tell you what's happening in your neck of the woods. Right now, 1 in 6 Americans don't know where their next meal is coming from. These are our neighbors, friends, our coworkers, but we can do something about it. Visit feedingamerica.org/hunger and find the local food bank in your community. I'm Al Roker, and together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Members of the American Postal Workers Union handle more than 165 billion letters and packages a year. That's about 34 million pounds of mail every day. Ever wonder what this costs you as a taxpayer? Millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions? Not a single cent. The United States Postal Service doesn't run on your tax dollars. It's funded solely by stamps and postage. Brought to you by the men and women of the American Postal Workers Union.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Soon enough, it was up to me to be his housekeeper and financial manager, too. When he moved in, I became his cook and even his nurse. But no matter what roles I play, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the roles you play. So to help, we created aarp.org/caregiving, where you can connect with experts and other caregivers. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 66, works with builders and contractors to build a better community. Local 66's tradesmen and women have received the specialty training needed to meet the complex challenges of any project, making them the most capable workforce in the region. From schools, highways, and pipeline projects to casinos and arenas, the operating engineers build any job, large or small. For over 100 years, Local 66 has provided superior service that our community can count on. They are your one-stop resource for qualified and productive operating engineers and heavy equipment mechanics. To learn more about the benefits of organized labor and more information about the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 66, go to www.iuoe66.org. That's www.iuoe66.org.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it. But he just throws it. Again. I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. How do I choose a book? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual. If a book's really impressing me and the writing is really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is, because the endings of books should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org, because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. In studio with me, Charlie McCullister, Rosemary Trump. 2-minute rant. Charlie, 1 minute, yours.
Okay, well, I think this whole issue of this attack on the public sector unionism, we have a very dramatic case in Pennsylvania where the Republican legislature is demanding privatization of pensions, really, 401ks, and if they, as a club, to get privatization of the Liquor Control Board of selling alcohol and
They'll either steal from us or they'll steal from the people retiring.
Right, and then linking it to any possibility of a severance tax, which of course should have been part of the entire Corbett, when Corbett opened up the veins of Pennsylvania for exploitation without any really thought on terms of regulation, in terms of income for the losing part of the wealth of the Commonwealth, he left us with a terrible problem. And now Wolf has got to come in and try to negotiate with the legislature, which just wants to use this as a jumping point for privatization.
Rosemary, your thoughts?
Well, and, you know, for all those anti-union politicians, the union-busting politicians out there that want to create a third world in the United States of America, I would challenge them to go to Bangladesh, because recently, in addition to all those horrendous building collapses that occurred and killed thousands of young women and girls, in the clothing industry just recently, a factory roof collapsed in the cement industry, killing five people and injuring hundreds, and only having clearly 40 survivors. And so, you know, if they want horrendous conditions for the working class, go see what it's like in those countries and the despair, and come back here and say that's what we need in America.
Absolutely.
The Union Edge Talk Radio Show. Often robust, but always respectful. Standing up for your working family.